You're about to listen to Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games. It's a comedy video game podcast. We would like to stress that the hosts are not experts and are really just very crass commentators. Seriously, this is an explicit podcast that happens to talk about video games sometimes. So please enjoy this pretty okay podcast with Tyler and Dave.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week. Two old guys play old games. Legit old-ass games.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, it's Original Flavor Monday, mm-hmm. but we wanted to stick to our Genesis mm-hmm. theme.
It's Othership Monday.
Othership Monday.
Right.
Damn.
It's okay.
Stick with
others. What was that? Did you just? Oh man, you just ate that hamburger really fast in front of me.
I need to power up.
Yeah. Feel better? Oh, good. Man, you're a sloppy boy.
And to give my burger bonus. It's fun. Othership Monday, and we want to keep on our Genesis train. So we're, by special request from Joe Willard,
mm-hmm.
we are going to be talking about the Genesis game,
classic.
Yeah, there you go. Genesis classic, Altered Beast.
Altered Beast. I learned the hard way that I shouldn't cover my mouth up with my hand and speak into the microphone. It doesn't work. Turns out.
But first, I'm your beard host, Tyler.
Yeah.
Dave, I see a package over there.
Oh, yeah, we got a package over here that I've kind of pre-opened. I haven't peeked in here. This is a package from Mike H, a.k.a. Bloody-Handed Otaku, Ziggy Moons.
Yeah.
There is a Ziggy sticker on here in the front of the package that says, "Have a nice day. If you are already having a nice day, please disregard this notice." Classic Ziggy comic. I tell you what, I'm actually going to give you the box.
Okay.
Here you go. Mike gave me a spoiler in Twitch chat earlier today. There is something in there that he doesn't mention in the letter, but there's something in there that is for Chandra specifically.
Okay.
So we get to hold it for Chandra. And since I know Chandra's listening, I'm going to play a little game. Are you good? Will you play
mm-hmm.
along?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want you to decide what in here you think is intended for Chandra and then save it for last.
I hope it's a rare ball of yarn.
The rarest ball
a
of yarn.
A rare ball, like of the rarest material.
Made out of Rasputin's beard.
Yes. Or the yarn made from the rope that hung Judas Iscariot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is a rare yarn.
Okay, there's quite the letter in here.
Excellent. Wow, that's a two-pager.
Yep.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Now you see why I gave you the box.
Obligatory motherfucking Tadpog. I finally received the waifu pillow, so here they are. Also, I managed to get the rest of the poblano hot sauces.
Oh, shit.
I had to go on a semi-epic journey to find the poblano. I went to the grocery store where I got the last bottle.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "Oh, we don't care that anymore." So I went to a couple other places that didn't have it either, until one place said they thought poblano had went out of business.
Oh, no. But well, they've been in business since like the 20s, right?
Yeah. Well, fuck. I was not about to give up, though. It's my favorite hot sauce. So off to Google I went, and it turns out the poblano factory is in a commercial district 20 miles from my house.
Holy shit.
So off I went, and I was in luck that they were open that day. I figured if they were closed, at least I would know how to get there. So the sauce is straight from the factory.
Holy God. He went on like a Fallout-style quest
to get this. I also enclosed a pamphlet from Poblano dealing with the history and some recipes on the back.
Ah.
All right. The other two sauces are Mexican hot sauce and green jalapeno. I love Mexican hot on pizza. Green jalapeno is awesome on chorizo and egg burritos. I dig both of those. As to the waifus, here you go. Totally like the Santa picture deedlet from Record of Lodoss War. Haven't seen it in years, but I remember it being very good. And Lily from Katawa Shujo. Oh, damn, dog.
I can't believe.
Technically, she's more of a Guder pillow. This is the only one I could find for less than $50.
Wait, what is a Guder pillow?
Oh, we'll find out.
Okay.
It's something in which I place the Guder on the display.
I was about to say, does she have an extra
I place
appendage?
It onto a blind animated girl's face to display. I was tempted to get a plain body pillow and a permanent marker and be like, okay, make your own. She's waifu on a pillow. So it kind of counts, sort of. I don't know. Personally, I prefer Shizune. See, I didn't like Shizune at all.
I can't remember their names.
She's got a +1 for glasses, and her haircut is super sexy to me. That Shizune. See, that's the rub for me. I do not like the pixie cut.
No.
It's not my thing. I like long hair.
This is in anime and in the real meat space.
It's true. But Lily is a close second. If I had to pick a waifu from that game, it'd be a toss-up between those two. Anyway, I've come up with some other Tadpog achievements. Hurt the ones you love. Send in a done goofed correction. You unlock the fight against Reptile by having a double flawless victory with a fatality in the pit against MK1. Smoke was unlocked by hitting up and start on MK2 when the toasty guy popped up in the portal level. Which goes on to my next achievement.
So we done goofed.
Yep.
We just got corrected. So Mike just unlocked an achievement for himself. Yeah. I feel like that shouldn't be allowed. I feel like you shouldn't be able to like throw one in there and be like, here's an achievement. By the way, I'm unlocking it.
Send a letter to Tadpog. Right. I also agree with Cockmaster Shake that MK3 needs a revisit episode.
Okay.
Balls deep reference, something someone from an early episode, voice, mail, tweet, etc. See above. Grandma on speed dial. Follow Tadpog on Instagram. Dress code. Take a selfie while wearing a Tadpog shirt. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Also, here's a
Amazon.com. Search for Tadpog. Yep. You find the shirts.
Also, here's a copy of the Sailor Moon Genesis game. It's a port from an arcade brawler, another AliExpress find. I know Yarn Sorceress Chandra wants to be on the Sailor Moon ep, so eventually. Hopefully this will arrive around Shadowrun time. If not, oh well, I will ask anyway. So what version of Shadowrun do you guys prefer? I have pen and paper games. I prefer second edition fluff-wise, as the books were written like you were reading a BBS system from the game universe compared to The Matrix. In the new editions, it were laid out like a regular book or mocked up like a website. I think part of why I like the old BBS style was because the games were written in the 80s and early 90s, and it fits the cyberpunk theme. We used to have a second edition Shadowrun with my friends via IRC, since we could play at home a lot when some of us still lived at home.
Nice. You just use an acronym that I fucking love.
Yeah. We were in the early college, fresh out of high school, and being broke, and old books were dirt cheap and we at the used bookstore. That's a good idea, because we played 3.5 right when it came out. We could have played second edition for a fuck ton cheaper.
None of us wanted to do that, though.
Man, I was like, what's Thaco? No, we probably don't want to do that.
None of us wanted to do it.
Anyway, they didn't play straight up rules and pretty much house ruled everything to our friend Mike. Had a homebrew rule set. They were playing with him before they knew me, so I was Mike 2 and he was Mike 1. You're Mike 1 here.
Yeah. Yeah, you
Mike
are.
Mike H, you're Mike number 1.
Yeah, you're Mike 1. Except for Exalted Lord Mike. So I guess you technically.
Well, he's Exalted Lord Mike.
So Mike, but.
So it's a different category of Mike. Oh, okay. Different flavor of Mike. All right,
different. Okay.
Yeah. So one weekend, oh, I guess, and Mike, Terrence Mike Lanham, but this is
a whole other thing. Ooh, man. And he sent you a Charizard, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Ooh. Well, we'll let the mics fight.
So one weekend, we were playing Shadowrun in over IRC, and I was Mike 1 GMing. It was Mike 1 GMing. Emmett playing a human detective named Mike.
Mike's on Mike's.
Running gag since there were three Mikes in our friendship circle. Jamie, a dwarf street samurai named Jinx. Colin played an orc rigger, can't remember his character name, we will just call him C, and I was playing Kana, an elf street samurai decker. So anyway, the scene is off where we're driving our way to this heavily guarded warehouse to meet with our contact to drop off the goods for this last run and get paid. So we're sitting there in essentially the cyberpunk version of an A-team van, BSing in character about the gear we were going to buy when Colin goes missing, just like nothing, he's AFK. And we have a strict rule about RP in the channel, so no out-of-character chat, so OOC.
Mm-hmm.
So we have another chat window open to keep the narrative more immersive. I like that. I really wish I had the log for this. So the guards at the warehouse are waving us down to stop, and about 10 minutes of real time goes by with no response from C, who's driving the van. And since it's rigger-controlled, none of our other characters could drive it without some crazy rolls. So C had modded the shit out of this sweet van. Mike 1 decides that he's going to blow past the checkpoint and crashes in the security gate, and the guards just haul ass, guns blazing, and pull us out of the van. Luckily, my character's philosophy was run where we had to go, run where we had to go guns out, and it was a bad run. And I was able to fast talk my way out of getting our heads blown off. The icing on the cake was IRC. You can point and click on a user and see what other rooms they were in. Turns out our dear friend was in a prawn trading room browsing file servers for hentai instead of playing with us.
Slash who is.
I was the only one who told him how to use the IRC servers to get porn, so it was kind of my fault. Enabler. I don't think we'll ever forget, oh, fuck it, blow past the checkpoint, roll for crash damage, and the hilarity ensued. Well, this letter is going on so long, so I'll cut it off here. The bloody-handed otaku of Ziggy Moons, Mike H., bearer of waifus.
So, with that having been read, guess what's for Chandra?
It's got Sailor Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
So next time you're in Chandra to record, come pick up your cartridge.
And here it is. Oh, man. That looks so good.
Yeah. I want to play that.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Here. This is the Guter pillow.
That's the Guter pillow. Oh, because it's
shaped like a Guter.
It's the size of a Guter.
Uh-huh. So on one side, you have Lily in her school uniform. Mm-hmm. On the other is Lily in a pajama top dressed like a cat. This, Mike H., this is fantastic.
This is really good.
Oh, I love this so much. So much.
Well, now your Guter can rest peacefully at night.
Yeah.
Poblano hot sauce. So what you got?
Yeah, poblano hot sauce and poblano green jalapeno sauce.
Ooh. So he sent us the hot sauce before, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try that green stuff.
And here is a full-size waifu pillow.
Yeah? Oh, it sounds so good. Dude, I do not have a knife.
Yeah, it is as your request.
I cannot believe you. I didn't know that this existed. Yep, that's Deedlet from Record of Lotus War. All right. I guess I got to fuck that tonight here. Yeah. It looks good, Mike H. Thank you.
Man.
I know. I know. I don't know. I don't. Mike. Dude. I fucking love you, man. You're amazing. I just cannot believe that you keep sending us these, though. I cannot believe it. I never in my entire life would have expected to receive on a regular basis. Mike, you are like the loot crate of waifu for Tyler and I. It's like, it feels like once a month we open a package from you and there are anime pillowcases in here. I fucking love it. It blows my mind.
Man, because I remember that wall scroll hanging in your room in college.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a Record of Lotus War wall scroll in college. Deedlet didn't look like this. I never saw it like that, but she looks like she saw a dragon or something.
Damn.
Thank you.
Killing it, Mike H.
I know,
damn,
you're fucking crushing
damn
it.
Damn.
Is that it? he says with disdain.
Oh,
is that it?
Here is the...
Oh, the pamphlet.
Uh-huh.
What little factoids can you pull off of it from Poblano? I do plan on tweeting them or sending them a letter, some kind of discourse where we can try to get a sponsorship from them. Maybe they can sponsor Waifu Corner.
Because, yeah, Poblano Hot Sauce, founded in September 10th, 1924, by Don Nicholas C. Segura. Don is a sound of respect that is used in Mexico.
Oh.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. See, we learned something. It was worth reading.
Mm-hmm. So the recipes on the back for Poblano avocado dip, mm-hmm, Poblano homemade chili, sounds pretty fucking good, and Little Oscar's Poblano Sauce Champion Hot Buffalo Wings.
All right.
All right, all right.
Sounds pretty good. Mike, you know us pretty well. You know what anime characters we'd like to fuck, and you know that we like hot stuff. So I'm thinking Poblano we could work like... Poblano's hot sauce sponsored waifu corner. It goes something like, there's a clear and obvious connection between sauces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they make hot sauce, and then we also make hot sauce. that we spill on pillows.
We spit hot rhymes like Dylon.
That's right. Hey, can I take a moment, and since we're being incredibly weird right now, can I take a moment and say, hi, new listeners that we may have gotten from Drew 2's podcast.
This is what we do sometimes.
I want to talk about that for a minute, because that was a lot of fun. We recorded...
Do that while I go get chips for us to try these hot sauces.
It? Okay, yeah, awesome.
Okay, so now I've brought back Wavy Lays for us to try these poblano sauces with.
I couldn't handle it alone. That's on the pamphlet. It says...
Do not consume alone.
Yeah, do not consume alone. Here, always eat with Wavy Lays.
Hand you some chips here.
All right. Just going to take care of these little guys here.
I'll take some chips here. All right. So first, the Mexican hot sauce. Shake well before using. I'll do that.
Now that's... I think he sent us that one, right? I'm going to try it again, though. Because that looks like the one that I brought home. All right. This is some good stuff right
here. Yeah, it is. Man, this stuff, like when he sent us before.
That's good.
That's really good.
I love it.
Man, it's really good.
I love it. It makes me sad that they might be going out of business or something. I don't like that.
Or, yeah, their distribution is shrinking.
All right. So now the green sauce.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right.
Man, this is such good shit. Man, it's so really good.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
That's good, too. It's not as hot, but I love a green
very
jalapenos.
Different. Yeah. Man, Mike H., like,
yeah,
not for him, I would have never known about these sauces, and they're so fucking good.
Yeah, they are really good. Thank you. So now we've tried the sauces, we got to fuck these pillows. So
it's true. I guess I just got to rub this one up against my, against my dick, wrap it around it,
yeah,
use so it.
You go first.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about... hi, if you're a new listener and you came to us via Drew 2's podcast, welcome. We don't always talk about waifu pillows and hot sauce, but sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad that you're here. If you've made it this far, we know that you're a good person. you're a weirdo like we are.
Yes.
And for those of you who aren't familiar, go check out The Love of Indie. It is hosted by... long-time listeners will remember Drew 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's hosted by Drew 2, and he is he does a wonderful job on this show. Tyler and I went on there and recorded about Bucky O'Hare for the NES.
Yeah.
So it's actually like – it felt like a mini-episode that we recorded with Drew, and it was a lot of fun, and I think it's a good listen. I think it's publishing today, the day that this episode drops, and I am very much looking forward to hearing it and reliving – that moment.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, because that was a really good time.
It really was.
So
yeah. And it was like one of the highlights of my day.
Mm-hmm.
If you are unfamiliar with Bucky O'Hare for the NES, I did stream it. I meant to mention that on his podcast, and I forgot. But if you want to see what Bucky O'Hare looks like, find us on Twitch. We're Tadpog_podcast.
Yeah.
Also on there is the. Session zero of Curse of Strahd.
Which I sadly had to miss.
Yeah, you had a good reason. Do you want to get into that or no?
Shit was going on.
You almost died.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it was a really good excuse.
Mm-hmm. I was, okay.
You were in the IRC porn sharing channel.
And I actually talked to an assassin. So before I tell that story, I'll preface it with something else.
All right.
Okay, so I mentioned... a few weeks ago, about Meg and I splitting up, and while I might have mentioned it not long ago, if everyone remembers like our time in Tadpog High Rise and all that, that was like much earlier on in the year. So we split up like late January. Like it had been a while. I just didn't want to talk about it on the show. It was news that wasn't comfortable, wasn't great, but I did eventually our listeners are our friends. I still want to share things that's going on.
Right.
The show would sound different. Because we put a great deal of our personal lives into this. So if I'm trying to exclude part of my personal life, it's just going to sound weird, especially when I've had so much in it already.
Sure.
So But now I have good news, which I know will also sound surprising to listeners. About 2 weeks ago, I got married.
Right.
So, yeah, Dave knows about
to
this.
Me.
We wanted to protest Kim Davis not giving out marriage certificates. So Dave and I, fuck it, we're going to get married.
You made me the happiest fuckboy 2 weeks ago.
No, I had been seeing on the show, referred to her as Brainy Gatsby.
Right.
So pull back the veil. Her name is Melissa. I'd been seeing Melissa for a while. She'd been, okay, so further preface it. There is an episode we recorded on Catherine. And on Catherine, I tell a story about choosing between two girls in high school.
Right.
And one of the Catherines was Melissa. So if you want some more background, because she's been basically one of my best friends since 1996, so going on 20 years now. And we had a will they, won't they thing until other things happened. If you weren't, yeah, like just go back and listen to Catherine.
There'll be a link to the Catherine episode in the show notes if you'd like to hear it.
So we've been dating for a while and everything clicked very, very well. And I've been extremely happy. And you said you've noticed everything seems different on how happy I've been.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You seem a lot happier.
So
I'm a lot less worried about you now.
My beard isn't black anymore.
No.
All the
red's gone back to it. I mean, it's amazing.
So because it was a very...
Your beard's a Tamagotchi. Dude, Tyler, your beard is fucking blonde, dude. Are you feeling okay? Did you forget to clean up your beard shit?
It's everywhere. Now it's dead. So we had to go to Louisville for something. And while we were in Louisville, on the way there, we never have days off during the week. So I had to request a day off for us to go to Louisville. And on the way there, she sort of made a joke like, oh, we're both off. We should just get married today. And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's just do this thing now. Let's just be spontaneous and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to our appointment in Louisville. I had her take a detour to a park, and I proposed. We went to the court, got a marriage certificate, found a very weird justice of the peace. And
wait,
just got it
pause
done.
For a minute.
Uh-huh.
A very weird justice of the peace.
He's a weird dude.
Really?
It's a weird dude.
As in, like, I will marry you, but I need to put four fingers in each of you. You can choose where.
Choose which finger.
You can choose what I eat before I do
which,
it.
Which one of these bad boys get left out on each hand? I would not advise the thumb.
Sir, you only have three fingers.
No, he was a, I called him. I was like, can you do a, we have a certificate when there's no judge available. Can you do a ceremony? He was like, yeah. I'm doing one over at the hotel, at the Crown Royal Hotel. Just meet me over there and we'll get it done. I was like, okay.
It was Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We'll get her done. We will get you married.
So we went, met him there. He was wearing a very, he was a bigger guy wearing a very tight Louisville basketball t-shirt.
Please no sleeves. Tell me he wasn't wearing sleeves and a camo.
But he did have on cutoff jean shorts.
Nice.
And some dirty white tennis shoes.
Was it his day off? It was his day off.
I guess.
Maybe.
He brought a robe. He said, I'll just throw on this robe when I actually do it.
And it was a bathrobe.
There was a Kroger conference in town. Yeah, so right. We pulled over two ladies from Kroger to be witnesses. And
Krogerton.
So in about a 2 or 3 minute ceremony, we got married. I couldn't get off work the next day, so we just drove home.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, hey, I've never been that spontaneous in my life.
So it was, yeah, the spontaneity is what made it. What made it great?
Yeah, it makes it special. So, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And okay, so to preface that, so now you know before I start talking about her, we needed to go get a set of bunk beds from a city about an hour away because they were having a very good deal on bunk beds. So we talked to this lady on Facebook, agreed, whatnot. We went and got a truck and a trailer. We're going out there.
Why are you sleeping in bunk beds? Can I ask you that?
We just like to Dick Van Dyke it, you know.
But stacked.
I love Lucy.
We want to save space.
Well, now collectively we have four children. So it's like, let's get some bunk beds.
Yeah, bunk beds are probably a good idea in that case.
So
can you get two sets and just stack them one on top of the other? And just have
a quad bed. Quad bed. Boy, it's so tall we had to do it outside.
Welcome to our Jenga tower of bunk beds.
Our Jenga tower of children.
Jenga.
And neither one of us are experienced with hauling trailers. Like, we've done a little bit with moving before, but not a whole extensively.
I've never fucking done it.
So, yeah, she went and got her grandfather's truck. We got the trailer, put it on how we thought it was supposed to go on, and then two chains underneath it is, like, for safety precautions.
Two chains went with you?
Two chains went with us. And he was just riding in the back of the trailer like, no, dog, I'm going to watch. I'll just watch. It's fine. So, on the way out there, we get a fair ways out, and I guess we hit a big bump or something, and the trailer flies off the hitch. So it turns out like the ball was too small for the trailer. So it flies up and off. So it's only hanging on by these two small chains on the suspension underneath the truck.
So you're relying on two chains at this point to hold it together long enough.
Two chains is doing like Captain America when he's holding on the helicopter with Bucky on it and holding onto the building.
Right.
So two chains is very heroically holding our trailer to the truck.
I knew he had it in him. I'll be honest with you. I knew he had it in him.
And she was driving. So she did an amazing job keeping under control. Because whenever it bucked off, it was a big 16-foot trailer. It's incredibly heavy, and we were driving a short bed truck. So it just, when it flies off, it's pulling us all over the road. Like a dog who's bitten into a toy and is just slinging it side to side. I mean, she could not, doing her best to control it. Like, we're in both lanes on the shoulder, and both lanes on the shoulder, trying to, and it was just chaos. But
that's a big truck too. I've seen it. Yeah, is a big truck.
She kept her composure, and eventually once we slowed down enough and the trailer, of course, it hit the back of the truck and fucked the truck all up. Yeah, that sucked. If there had been any other cars on the road, it would have been really, really bad.
Yeah.
So, and just so happens her family has a farm property not far from where we were. So we just very slowly put the trailer back on and went like 10 miles an hour to their farm, drop off the trailer, and then just went and got the bunk beds.
Well, look, man, if you don't want to play D&D, you can just tell me. You don't have to invent this elaborate story.
You don't have
story.
To get married spontaneously, then go get bunk beds.
Look, I feel like you go to great lengths to not play. I get it. If you don't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Just let me know. It's fine. We'll still be friends. I'm not going to be mad. No. Not a big deal.
Or to see what kind of story I come up with next week. That'd be even bigger than that one.
Next Saturday at 9 Central.
But yeah, there's my various intros.
I'm glad you're alive.
Thank you. You talk about Altered Beast?
We can. Yeah, okay. We can do that. Hi, I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And I had a dream the other night. Before we get into Altered Beast, I want to tell you about this dream that I had. And I blame Pokemon Go because I had a dream, and I blame Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters because I had a dream where I downloaded a mobile experience game that was Ninja Turtles themed. And the first thing that pops up is it asks me to choose my team, and it says, do you want to be good or do you want to be evil? And I said, well, I'm thinking to myself, I want to be good, so let me look and see who's on the good team. And what they had done is they had taken the four Ninja Turtles and just divided the team in half. And on the good side was Leonardo and Michelangelo. And I said, well, fuck that. I don't like either of those turtles. Like, the better ones are on the evil team, so I'll be on the evil team, which was, of course, Donatello and Raphael. So I choose Team Evil, which was red, by the way, in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on Team Evil, and then Donatello gives me a mission to go break into somebody's home and steal their jewelry. And then Pokemon Go stuff, which is a thing he would do, I would think. Yeah. I've seen the cartoons. I mean, you know, he looks like a real fucking jewel thief. He looks like he's got some bills to pay. You know what I'm saying? So then a Pokemon Go style map opens up that gives me directions to the house that they want me to steal the jewels from. And the whole time I'm having like this moral crisis. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do this, but I really want to be good at this game. I don't want to let Donatello down. So I drive to the house and I pull up in the driveway and I'm like, I have a moment in my car where I'm like, I'm looking at the screen on my phone being like, I cannot believe that I'm about to do this. And I kind of like psych myself up to do it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to be like a ninja. I'm going to use my ninja trading. I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to be in and out. I'm going to be like a phantom.
Your extensive ninja training.
Yeah, they're not even going to know that I've been there. And absolutely under any circumstances, am I going to kill anybody?
You played a lot of Mark of the Ninja. You could do it.
Yeah, it's it's good. It's fine. So I get all psyched up. I get out of the car and then I enter this house and I'm like, you know what? There might not even be anybody here. And I enter the house and I hear the TV on. I'm like, well, fuck, somebody's here. So I go invisible. It's just the thing that I do in this dream. I go invisible and I walk to the bathroom. And on my way to the bathroom, there is a couple. Okay, so here's the layout of the building, of this home. This is a middle-class home, just a regular-looking house. Mm-hmm. For some reason, the jewels are in the bathroom. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that's what my phone says. That's the map on my phone says. So, by the way, I've heard that hearing people talk about their dreams is absolutely fucking boring. So I apologize.
No, this is great.
In advance. Mm-mm. Actually, not in advance. I'm in the middle of it. So I apologize in interim. So I'm on my way back to the bathroom. In order to get there, I have to go through the master bedroom. And so I'm invisible. And I go through the master... Right. I'm invisible. And I go through the master bedroom.
Off your visibility before you went in.
Right.
So you're invisible.
They might just see my phone floating in there. I don't know how it worked. Because I could still see my phone, which that means it's visible. So I'm walking through their bedroom to get to the bathroom where the jewels are. Mm-hmm. And the couple that are living there are having sex in the bedroom, the bed. So I'm like, once again, I have a dilemma here. It's like, well, do I take advantage of this sweet invisibility that I've been gifted by my ninja dream and watch this? Or do I get the jewels for Donatello and Raphael? You know, real basic fucking moral conundrums. So I decide, you know what? I don't need to watch this. What I'm going to do is take advantage of the situation, and I'm going to go get the jewels.
I'm going to put my finger in that guy's butthole.
But I am going to experiment a little bit, right, before I go to the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom, and I open the drawer that I instinctively know. You mm-hmm. know how you have that, like, sixth sense?
Yeah, your jewelry sense.
Right. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I know where they are. And like, I open the cabinet. They're in the medicine cabinet. That's just where they are. I open the medicine cabinet. It's just, like, a handful of diamonds. Just a handful. I just reach in there, and I grab them, and I remember thinking, I was so excited because I was like, Donatello and Raphael are going to be so proud of me that I didn't watch those people having sex, and instead I completed my mission. And so about that time, I grab the diamonds, I'm so happy with myself, I'm pleased with my level of discipline, and I turn to the door, and the man of the house is standing there, naked, ready to wash his stuff off, and he sees me. I realize that I'm no longer invisible. And I'm like, he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, look, I know this looks bad. I know that I've got your diamonds, but I'm just playing a game. Donatello and Raphael sent me here to get your jewels. And he says, oh, you're one of those? Get out. So apparently I wasn't the first one to come and steal his jewels. And so I felt bad and I'm leaving. Like, he's not doing anything. He's just like hands on his hips, you know, like looking at me disappointed, right? And so I'm leaving and like I walk out
naked,
there.
Just junk all gooey.
Oh yeah, just all kinds of gooey. And he's just looking at me and he looks very disappointed and I feel awful. All of a sudden, the woman's not there anymore. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm.
She was never there, Dave.
Turns out the woman was inside us all the whole time. So I turn around as I leave and I see him still staring me down. And I remember thinking how ashamed I felt. And then and I was also a little concerned that my invisibility just happened to wear off at the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
And then all of that like guilt just immediately passed as soon as I got out of the house. Cause I was like, I got the diamonds. I'm going to go turn these in to Raphael and Donatello. And I got in the car. And then that's when I woke up.
Oh, damn.
Not a good ending to that dream, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
I mean, you won. You got the diamonds.
I did. But I didn't get the love and approval of my two favorite Ninja Turtles to counterbalance the disapproval of the naked man.
Okay, so dream interpreters, please get back with us with what that dream means.
If you please could, I would appreciate it. Save me the, I don't know, $100 that it might cost to have that evaluated.
There's that dream interpreter. I can break it down and see what each, I don't know if Ninja Turtles will be a term you can find.
Is this a website?
What does it mean if you see the Ninja Turtles in one of your dreams?
I robbed a homeowner in my dream. I have one other thing to say. Mm-hmm. This is not really intro story related. I have a hot chip update, which I meant to give last episode. Here's the deal on those Paquis Carolina Reaper Madness chips. Dim shit's done sold out. So I have submitted my email address. I am now on a waiting list to get the hottest chips in the world for us to eat on the show. So,
and Melissa would like to do that with us. So if we can get three chips.
We'll get three then. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm glad that she wants to come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not think that was the thing that she wanted to do.
She said she wanted to do it. I want to try that chip with you on the show. Real okay.
All right.
All right. All right. How about you?
That's good. Does she like spicy stuff?
Yeah. She's about on our level.
All right. Okay. Great. Cool. I'm all for it. Then let's go ahead and get four. Let's just drop a 20 on these chips and then get someone who like absolutely hates spicy food.
Yes.
That is just like the worst. They fucking hate it. We have to let them know going in, like, no. They'll know looking at the package, right? It has the fucking Grim Reaper on it.
No, like, it's strawberry.
Yeah. No, it's cool. This is just Charlie Manson's brand chip. It's fine. No, it's just pretty. It's pretty bland.
It's a tomato chip. You know, the deadly nightshade? That's why. No, it's fine.
All right, I'm sorry. Now I am ready for Altered Beast. Now that we're 50 minutes deep into this podcast, I feel like.
All right. Dave, do you hear that?
I do hear that. It sounds like a weeping woman who has just had sex with her husband while a man stole her diamonds, and he didn't even stop him. He didn't even stop the man who was doing deeds for reptilian ninjas. He was taking orders from teenagers. He was literally taking orders from teenagers who live in the sewer.
Yep.
I do hear that, which of course ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Okay, guys, Altered Beast, or as it's known in Japan, Juoki, which literally translates to Beast King's Chronicle.
Beast who becomes altered.
That's a much better fucking name, I think. I think Beast King's Chronicle is a better name.
Yeah.
It is a 1988... 1988 beat-em-up arcade game developed and manufactured by Sega. The game is set in ancient Greece and follows a centurion who is resurrected by Zeus to steal diamonds to rescue his daughter Athena. And to do so, becomes able to turn into beasts, such as the werewolf, with the use of power-ups. Have you heard of these things called power-ups?
Yes, that's what my hamburger was that I ate earlier. Don't you see my shirt now barely fits me? If I eat one more hamburger, it will fly off entirely.
See, I didn't realize that you'd gotten bigger. I thought your head had just gotten smaller.
I get that a lot.
So after its initial arcade release, Altered Beast was ported to several home video game consoles and home computers, including the Mega Drive / Genesis, for which it was a pack-in game.
I thought it was a release game.
It was. It was a release game.
So I remember seeing this game whenever I went to get a Super Nintendo and the Genesis was side by side. If you do the comparison and play the games, I remember Moonwalker and Altered Beast. Although I did not play it again until I want to say it was part of the Sega Smash Pack for Dreamcast.
I know this game has been re-released a bunch. I know that it did come out again on Dreamcast.
So I think that was the first place I remember sitting down and playing it extensively.
I had never played this game. This was like, and I say this on, guys, I streamed this for the first time on our Twitch channel. Hi, you may have heard we have a Twitch channel. I like to bring it up a lot. Hey, are you sitting at a desk right now at work and want to hear some audio in the background? Finish this podcast, then go listen to Drew 2's podcast, then fire up Twitch, dog. We recorded like three fucking things.
Find out if it's blocked or not, and then if it's not,
yeah, if it's not blocked, you're fine. If it is blocked, let me know. I know I know two turtles who will help unblock your... I know
give
one
me
turtle.
The email of your IT guy.
And Raphael will murder him and Donatello will replace him.
or they'll ask someone playing the game, go murder this IT director. Take his place, unblock Twitch.
We will give you a waifu pillowcase in exchange for your goods and services. I did stream this... me playing it for the very first time because I never played this game before. I had heard of it. This was like a gap in my video game knowledge. I was familiar with Altered Beast. I've heard so many people talk about it. I'm familiar with like the memes, I guess you'd call them, from Altered Beast, but I had never actually played it myself. So this is my first go at it.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really harsh. I probably would have liked it more if I had not also played Bucky O'Hare this weekend, which, spoilers for Drew 2's podcast, For the Love of Indie, I really liked Bucky O'Hare.
Bucky O'Hare
was a really good game, mm-hmm. I felt like. Altered Beast, I also liked, but it paled in comparison to me, to Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They're very different games. Altered Beast is certainly a beat-em-up, more so than mm-hmm. Bucky O'Hare. And it is a lot funnier than Bucky O'Hare. Altered Beast
is not intentionally, I believe. But
that's up for debate. I have a little bit of trivia that may kind of point to maybe it was intentionally supposed to be schlocky.
Okay. Because I remember... Because it is. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's just a fun game to sit down and play for a little while.
It is a stupid game. It is a stupid fun game.
Yep. Because I mean, as soon as you turn it on, you're in the graveyard. Zeus zaps a tombstone with lightning. Wise from your grave.
Yeah.
And then, all right, you're just this guy who comes out and you just start punching
just
shit in the graveyard.
Beating the fuck out of everything.
Just dogs and
it's just how you
zombies.
Interact with the world. Punches and kicks. You're not wearing much.
Nope.
I'm not wearing much at all, I guess.
You have like a doublet and underwear.
And boots.
And boots, yep.
And it doesn't really even look like it. It almost looks like you're almost like wearing a unitard is what it looks like. A purple unitard and boots.
Yeah.
And they don't bury you much in ancient Greece. Mm-hmm. I would have thought there'd be like a death shroud or something.
In case you just like a little bit of concrete and style it up a little bit. That's it.
And then you immediately, like you said, just start beating things literally to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You punch a zombie and it explodes into body parts.
Because stuff will take a few punches or a few kicks. Because there's basically what? High punch, low kick, high kick. And it's basically the regular moveset?
Yeah, so like A punches and B kicks. And then like depending on whether you're crouching... It does different stuff. My favorite move is when you hit down and kick, you crouch down but kick straight up. So it's kind of this neat little like shoulder.
Hi-ya.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But as you're beating, you know, graveyard dogs, eventually, you know, plenty of brown graveyard dogs.
Two-headed.
Oh, there's a blue graveyard dog. All right, I'm beat up this blue graveyard dog. Oh, a floating blue ball comes out of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, got to touch that.
An orb of sorts.
An orb.
Yeah.
Power up, and you get like a quarter Hulk out.
Yeah,
to where you're like your shirt rips off.
Right, you're just bare chested at this point.
And then, yeah, you just get. It's like you go Dragon Ball Z reference. Like you go Ultra Super Saiyan. You're just muscular, and yeah, you do double damage. Maybe
you do more damage. Yeah, because like the zombies that you were hitting that would normally take two hits now explode on one hit. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a very literal sense. They explode when you punch them. Body parts go everywhere. And that, I think, is part of the charm of the game.
Yeah.
is just how, like, how schlocky it is. And at no point did I feel like it was grotesque. Like, I honestly feel like Altered Beast, like, skates that line perfectly between, like, humorous and grotesque. Because it's not like the arcade shooter Chiller, which I'm sure we all know. There will be a link to that in the show notes if you're not familiar.
Man.
Which is heavy on the grotesque and not funny at all. It's just a disturbing game to play. Uh-huh. Altered Beast isn't disturbing, even though all this horrible shit is going on. It's because it's so outlandish. Like, it is just, it, like, mm-hmm. it just, Altered Beast just wallows in its over-the-toppedness.
Yeah, that's true. And then once you, again, beat down more zombies and dogs, because I think it's always the blue dog that gives you the power up.
Yeah, it is always the blue dog. And the problem with it is okay, so you need to kill three blue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And each one gives you an orb. And when you kill the third one, you get the final orb.
Mm-hmm.
And then you transform into a beastman.
A very beautiful cinematic cutscene of a man, black or white style, morphing into some kind of a beast while being shrouded in flames.
I love it. And you know what? I want to make custom gifts of us. I really do. That's the first thing I thought, because it's like a close up on the centurion's face, and then the flames come up, and then he transforms into whatever animal it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
Every level in this game, which there are not many, there's five levels.
Yep.
Each one has you transform into a different beast man mm-hmm. when you pick up the third orb. So what's nasty about it is, if you do not kill one of the blue dogs and collect the orb, you cannot fight the boss. You can't fight the boss early. You have to keep going until either you've transformed into beast mode, or the boss just finally says, fuck it, I'm fighting you, even though you're a human.
Yeah.
So he's a very nice, he's a very fair villain. Lawful evil, I'm going to say.
Because what? Because it's
sporting.
I guess it's Hades who has kidnapped Athena and taken her to the underworld.
One would think that it would be Hades, but they renamed him for some reason. I do not know why. His name is Jeff. His name is
Eddie Izzard said, he's the Greek god of muffins.
His name is not Jeff. His name is escaping me for a moment as I scroll rapidly.
Uncle Fester in a black robe.
He does look like fucking Uncle Fester.
Looks like if Uncle Fester, like his before and after Weight Watchers, where he's just wearing his fat robe, because it's just like a very skinny Uncle Fester in a black toga.
His name is Neff.
Neff.
You could see why I confused it with Jeff.
Yeah, I do.
His name is Neff, and he is the boss of every level in this game.
Yeah.
He's just in different forms. Much like you transform into a beastman, he transforms into
aberrations.
Yeah, things that just slap God in the face.
So, like, what the first level, well, you turn into a werewolf.
Yes.
Essentially.
You do.
Your moves are extremely powerful, and you have a lightning dash forward and back.
Yes.
That's your go-to move, because it clears everything in basically a hit and allows you to do the entire screen at once, almost. Right. So once you transform into him and fight the boss, okay, so the boss is, what would you say, like a tree, a furry skin tree.
I like this game. Let's do this for every boss.
Okay. A furry skin tree ant that has one functioning arm, and he throws smaller versions of his face at you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's what I came up with. We've both played a lot of D&D, and I've never encountered anything like this creature in my entire career of playing.
That's the Altered Beast game coming up.
So I know, right? We could do that. I thought about that too. Here's what I thought. I thought he looked like Hagrid, who had shaved and then replaced the bottom portion of his body with corpses that have erupted from the earth. I missed that. That's a chapter, right? That's a missing chapter.
That's what Hagrid does when he goes into the forest. He feeds a monstrous spider and then digs up corpses for this Lorax body.
But he does, his weapon is his own face. And it doesn't remove his face. It's like, it's a duplicate of his face. And he peels it off like four times and throws them at you.
Killing me is a mercy, Harry. You're a wizard. Kill me.
Please kill me.
So once you, I feel like if you, you have to like jump and keep going high and fast back and forth, not really a very difficult boss. Before, once you kill him, he disappears in a cloud of smoke.
Right.
And you see Neff's head, and he takes away your orbs of power.
Steals your orbs.
And then disappears into a portal in the ground. Right before he disappears, you jump into the portal after him.
We missed a very important part, and that is before you fight any boss in this game, Neff says, "Welcome to your doom." God, man, this is no joke. I think the voice modulation in this game is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I can understand.
For being 88?
For being 88 and for being for Genesis hardware, like, I think it sounds clear. Like, I never was like, what did he say? It's not like in, sometimes in Mortal Kombat, it's like, and especially Street Fighter, where it's like, what the fuck did they say?
Yeah, ting tong kick.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So what, the second level is...
It's the swamps of Dagobah.
Yeah.
Oh. It is. It's what it looks like Dagobah. Not the Reddit story, swamps of Dagobah.
And, okay, because I got confused. I thought it was the cave. The cave must be the third level then.
Cave is the third level.
Okay.
So the swamps of Dagobah is the one where you fight... Let's see. It's very, very short. It's so short, this level. Mm-hmm. All the levels are pretty short, but I think this is the shortest one.
Yeah, once you're good at this game, you can go through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's not a very long game. Yeah. I wasn't good at this game. It was my first time playing it. I think I cleared it in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So the bog, the Swamp of Dagobah, is the one where you fight the spherical purple alligator beanbags.
Look like coin purses with like mouths.
Yeah, and that make me want to rewatch Critters really, really bad. Like, I mean, that's the first thing I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh man, I wish I could find Critters streaming somewhere and not have to pay for it. Because I want to rewatch it, but not $2.99 rewatch it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I mean, I've seen it when I was little, but I remember so little about it. It would be like watching it all over again, I'm sure.
Well, let's just have a critters party.
Okay.
We'll watch all
the critters.
Of them. I think there's.
How many are there? A lot.
There are at least three. I don't know if there's a fourth or there might even be more than that. Research. I'll do research. I'll plan out critters.
Of course, the fan fiction. Yeah.
That's what I want to do for my birthday. We all get together and we watch all the critters movies.
Nice.
And by all of us, I mean everybody listening to this. I like to watch critters with everybody.
Okay.
The world.
On Twitch, we'll. Yeah, Tadpog
we'll
watches
screen
critters.
Share. Yeah. So the boss of the Swamps of Dagobah, of course, is a giant, what looks like to me, it looked like Audrey 2 mated with a watermelon. And the baby was a watermelon that opens up in the middle, and inside is a horrific menagerie of various eyeballs that shoot out at you. But the good news is it's a very easy boss if you have transformed into the dragon, which is what you transform into in the swamp level.
Mm-hmm.
There is one fucking perfect spot that you can sit and just zap them with electricity.
Yeah, because the dragon can fly.
Mm-hmm,
or
right.
The wolf could just was ground bound except for the dash back and forth.
So pedestrian, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dragon can fly. It has a powerful like... Blanca-ish lightning move.
Exactly.
But it's got a very short range.
Right.
So you just have to get up on something and...
It also has a... It can fire a lightning bolt straight forward. But I do not think that was really ever used by me more than once.
I never used it.
Oh, I can either fire this very small projectile, has a small chance of hitting, or I can make myself invulnerable.
Yep, spam that.
The whole time. Right.
Yep. So then the third level is the cave. And I think as a kid, I never beat the cave.
Okay.
And so that's where I got stuck.
The cave, I think, is where I died the first time going through.
Okay. Yeah, because now once you... Yeah, I feel like that's where your luck sort of runs out because you've had a few missteps probably getting to this point. So unless you know what you're doing, yeah, this is kind of where it peters out.
And it makes sense because the game isn't like one-hit kills. You do have a weird life bar system. It's like it's almost like they were trying to figure out like how to do health bars because it's like instead of having a long bar a la Street Fighter or something like that, you have three pips that represent your health. And as you get hit, those pips change color. Because it's like they start out, do they start out blue or green? I can't remember.
I think it's blue.
And then if you get hit, it changes to like yellow, and then it goes to orange, then it goes to red, and then it disappears. So you have like essentially, I would say, four hits before one's removed, I guess, unless you're hit by something really strong.
Yeah.
Which is a really, that was a really weird system for me to get used to. It was almost like, okay, so just don't get hit because
So it's the terrorist warning system?
Right, yes.
Yeah, as a health bar.
Right,
okay,
exactly. So the cave. The cave is, I think, probably the level that has the most platforming in it, which is a little miserable.
Yeah, because you can fall down a hole and die in this one.
Yeah, instant death.
Yep.
And we haven't mentioned this yet, but the entire game is on a forced scroll.
Yeah.
So the screen is constantly scrolling. It will pause periodically for you to fight, but if you do not finish that fight in the amount of time the game deems worthy, it continues to scroll. So it will eventually just start pushing you forward.
Yeah.
The boss of the cave I really enjoyed because he reminded me of the Welk from Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Because he's essentially a dragon that's inside a nautical shell, as far as I could tell. Because
he's the one in the middle of the screen?
He's on the right side of the screen, and he... so, like, you can only hit him when his head's out, which I have to be honest with you. I might not
have even gotten to him as a kid.
He changes color. Like, he's one of the bosses where it's like the more times you hit him, like, he drastically changes color. Like, he turns purple, and then he turns, like, all red. And then once you finally kill him, he in the smoke. Like a ninja.
Yeah. Is there... Okay. Off topic slightly.
Yeah.
In Final Fantasy VI.
Uh-huh.
Because is there... There's one more monster that's similar to Welk, right? Or is Welk a completely unique... First boss.
I can't remember. Are you saying like in Final Fantasy VI there's a second Welk?
Because usually there's like they repeat enemy types a lot.
Right.
But I don't remember another Welk being out there.
I don't recall. Okay. I don't recall one, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't.
Yeah.
It's been probably 2 years since I played that game.
Yeah, because I feel like I remember a green and purple one too.
Yeah.
But I can't place it.
Yeah. Here's a weird question. This is just me. I'm not sure about this, but it almost feels like you might encounter a Welk on the Veldt. I know you don't normally encounter bosses on the Veldt, but I don't know. For some reason, I think you can encounter the Welk on the Veldt. And what is it? Mag Rotor?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
I think you can
encounter him.
Because there's
the
like a weird. So they fucked it up programming wise. And like, yeah, I remember he's on there, and then there's one of the dragons is on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is, wow. I can't back any of this up other than just like foggy memories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like you're right. The Welk shows up again somewhere, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, but, for a cool concept on a boss, they don't use it very often.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
it's a nice tutorial boss, though.
Yeah. Man, that first level of that game.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. The game's great. Altered Beast?
Yeah. Do Altered Beast some more.
So you fight the Welk and Altered Beast in the caves as, do you remember?
No.
As a bear.
Okay, I didn't. I think I must have kept dying before I even got to the three orbs at this point, because I did not remember changing into a bear.
You do change into a bear, which I think is hilarious, because you're supposed to be a bear man, but really you look like... You look like a bear. You look like a bear standing up on its hind legs in a fighting stance, like in a karate stance.
Kung Fu Panda, okay.
Kung Fu Panda. So its moves are, it can breathe on an enemy and turn them into stone, or it can do like a Sonic the Hedgehog, not spin dash, but a spin jump. And that's how I beat the Welk. I just spun on him until he died.
Okay.
But what I don't understand about video game bosses is if you have a mode where you're completely invulnerable, much like the boss of this level, where as long as his head's in a shell, he can't die, why would you ever stick your head out? Why would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
You have the And why even do for prolonged periods of time? I understand if you want to, just poke your head out and like fire a few death lasers and then poke your head back in. But
yeah, why does Dr. Wily not cover his entire castle in spikes?
Exactly, so. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All villains secretly want to be overthrown. They want to be defeated.
I like it.
Because isn't that, right, again, reaching, isn't that Thanos' weakness?
I have no
secretly
idea.
Like he wants to fail. So like he factors in a possibility of defeat into like all of his plans for all of his infinite power and planning.
I didn't know that. I guess it makes sense, especially because like he's married to death, right? Or was lovers with death.
Yeah. Once he has a daughter with death, I think, but death loves Deadpool. So.
Oh, see, I thought it was like Deadpool was stealing death from Thanos.
That could be. I'm not up on that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm very interested, but I haven't delved deep trying to find out.
All I know is the romantic relationship between Deadpool and Death. I don't really know beyond that, like how Thanos fits into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone will let us know.
Please do.
Let us know.
Let us know. We'll get to that in a few months.
So you can unlock Mike H's correction corner achievement.
There's a lot of corrections we can do.
The next level in Altered Beast. Are you liking this format?
Yeah.
Are you like doing it level by level? The next level is...
Because there are not very many levels, and there's not a lot to talk about. Right. So we can break it down like a walkthrough, and it's not awful. Yeah. Like an RPG.
No, I mean, it's still awful, but it's not as awful. The next level is Neff's Palace, which is very ornate. It has all kinds of, let's just say Dorian columns. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't fucking know. I can't remember the column types. I'm a bad art history person. And so in this level, you start running into weirder shit. I want to make a note of the imps that have Lucerne hammers that fly above you and then dive bomb you straight down. This is where that crouch straight up kick comes into play. Also, there are these creatures that look like parrots. They have like the face of parrots, but like bodies of lizards, but they're bipedal and they have long tails. And they're yellow, and they look exactly like the enemies in Golden Axe that you ride on.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of trivia about Altered Beast. The same team worked on Golden Axe.
Okay.
So I love
that. I can see that art style. Okay.
I love that there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And Golden Axe, these creatures are purple and called chicken legs.
Whenever you talk about that high kick, it reminds me of that SNL Molly Shannon. I'm
50.
50, thank you. It was like 40 to 50.
Well, 50's a sequel.
Altered Beast high kick.
Are you looking ahead of my achievements?
Damn.
No. I would love to do, before we're done with Genesis, BT dubs, I would like to do Golden Axe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Golden Axe, too, because they're both really short.
Yeah, like, I'm all for it.
Those games are, I think the last time I played them was over at Josh Nance of Uniracers fame house, and I think we beat both of them in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, because I think I had the first one on my Wii U. I can't remember, that was on the virtual console. Yeah, so.
I'm down. Before we're done with Genesis, I definitely want to do it.
Yeah,
I want to do it. And I want to do Jurassic Park.
Perfect. I'm all for all of this.
Which I hear is an awful game, but I refuse to believe it.
There's some shit on Genesis I want to get to, too. I want to, like, balls fighting game.
Yes, let's please do balls. I'll bring in some balls for us to drink.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because I know there's a gas station around here where we can get them.
Man, I haven't seen them in such a long time. I want to try their root beer so badly, but I've never seen it.
I forgot. You told me they had root beer.
You can only buy it by the case, and the case is like 40 or 50 bucks.
Fuck it, man. Let's do it. Let's do it for the balls episode. All balls episode.
All balls episode.
Balls all day, every day. So the boss of Neff's palace is a chibi alligator skeleton who has a lava sphere for his belly. Are you familiar with this one?
No.
And you turn into your beastman form is a tiger. You turn into a rakshasa, essentially.
Okay.
Except your all your appendages are in the right order. They're facing the right way. And he works just like the werewolf form, except for going horizontally. Instead of dashing horizontally, he dashes vertically.
Okay.
This, I think, is the hardest boss in the game, because if you hit him in his square in his belly, it will hurt you. So you have to, like, hit his skeletal bits while he's firing huge blasts of flame and also summoning flame bats that you have to dodge.
Okay.
So this is, I think, the hardest boss in the game. Once you beat him, you go to what I assume is hell. And it is...
The underworld.
The underworld, yes. And it is the coolest level in the game.
Yeah?
It is the coolest level in the game. The ground is purple. There are corpses everywhere. The Thinker... As from famous from Dobie Gillis, is there.
I'm Dobie Gillis fame.
He's there. That was Rodan, right? Yeah. And then the Scream is there. Mm-hmm. The Munch painting, but not the painting. It's just the guy that they based the painting based off of. Yeah. Right there in the foreground. And then you just travel along. It's a very short level, but it has the weirdest enemies in the game. There are yellow satyrs. There are golden warthog men who have like pizza cutter hands. And they are relentless. Like, most of the enemies in this game are pretty dumb, and it's like you can just avoid them. Like, once you get past them, they're like, I give up. But that fucking warthog is like, if you get past him, he turns around and he's like, mistakes you for pizza.
Yeah.
It's like, must cut into 8 even slices. And then there's a roly-poly with spikes. There is a land piranha. And it's like, I feel like the land piranha, he's only in the game, like, there's twice. I feel like it was just like they had an intern who was like, hey, I did a sprite. Can we put it in the game? We don't have any water levels. Like, fine, just put him in the...
He can be on land. You know? It's fine.
Put him in Underworld. he is the boss's son, after all.
There you go. Okay.
And my favorite, my absolute favorite monster in this game is a purple unicorn man. He looks like he is straight out of BoJack Horseman. Like, he does not look like he belongs in this game, but he like comes at you and punches and kicks. He's a real badass.
Yeah.
And in order to beat him, like, once you, like, you have to hit him several times. And once you do, he has the coolest death animation. Everything else in this game like explodes when it dies, but he implodes. It's almost like he gets banished back to his universe, because it's like he just goes this little blip.
I am not from this realm.
Yeah, disappears.
Does he look like Fuck Unicorn from Awkward and Hunger Force?
I am not familiar with Fuck Unicorn. Okay. I'll look him up right now.
Because that's where, Meatwad goes over and Carl is having basically that furry party where they're all having sex.
But I need to see this.
He's talking to, like, Meatwad is talking about hooking up with someone. He talks about he wants to hook up with Fuck Unicorn. He's like, man, you are not ready for Fuck Unicorn.
When I do a Google search for Fuck Unicorn, what I get is the body of a white horse, and instead of a neck and head, it's a giant middle finger, essentially, is what it is, with a rainbow trailing it. Is that what it is in Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
It's a purple unicorn with its dick out.
Well, I mean, purple unicorn, that's, I mean...
Have you been watching BoJack Horseman?
I've watched the first season, and I liked it a lot.
You think, yeah, I really like
I hear
it.
That it gets even darker.
It definitely does.
And I'm on board with that. I know Guy Who Dances, Rhythm Master, Archivist, Cute Butt Corn, really likes it.
Because there is such a crazy, real harsh and cringy moment at the end of the second season that made me be like, oh, man, it made my chest hurt. Like, it's... For a show, man, because it's so fucking funny, but man, they fucking hit the darkness hard.
I have found an image from Aqua Teen Hunger Force that displays, yes, this is what the unicorn looks like in Altered Beast. I'm curious if Aqua Teen Hunger Force got this design idea from Altered Beast. The end of that stage, you fight Neff in his final form. Do you know what that is?
A floating head?
It is a giant rhinoceros man. So I guess that's his beastman form.
Yeah.
As he is a giant rhinoceros. And what he does
is... Like Rhino from Spider-Man?
Yeah. Like, honestly, more like Rocksteady from Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
Just instead of wearing, like, combat boots and camo and goggles, he's not as steampunk as that. He's more fantasy. He's got, like a gladiator's breastplate on.
Okay.
And he... Can you guess what his move is?
Does he charge?
He charges at you.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm sorry. You actually have to answer a few simple arithmetic problems in order to defeat him.
He pauses and crosses his arms and taps his foot, and his trouble comes up.
It turns into Math Blaster. You play Math Blaster for 4 minutes.
God, we need to do Math Blaster.
You know what? I loved Math Blaster.
I did too.
Oh, sweet. We share that memory. Even if Leonardo and Michelangelo asked me to play, I would play Math Blaster for them. I would go good. I'd go good to play Math Blaster. So yes, he Neff's final form, the Rhino, does charge, and he has a very distinct tell. Steam like comes out of his ears when he's going to charge. So like you transform into a God. I'm having a hard time remembering. Let me check my notes. You transform into a werewolf again, but this time you're gold. You're a gold
Super
werewolf.
Saiyan werewolf.
You are a Super Saiyan werewolf. Your moveset is essentially the same as it was in the first stage.
Yeah.
But it gets a little tough because Rhino Neff mixes it up, and sometimes, like right after a charge, he'll just punch and kick relentlessly, like while you're in the corner. So like there were several moments where I had full life, got stuck in a corner, and he just pummeled me to death. Like he was a skinhead or something beating me in the street.
How Neff roll.
I know, man. It's like, oh, he read Indian in the Cupboard, too.
Yes. Fucking Omri had it coming, though. Fucking...
Don't victim blame.
I don't in most cases, but fucking Omri
case. But in Omri's case.
It's probably fine.
I got lucky, and I think Rhino Neff glitched out when I was fighting him, and he just got caught in a charge loop. So he just ran back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And all I had to do was just use the werewolf dash over and over and over and over again, and he died.
Awesome.
And then the game ends. You find out this game has weird little story vignettes in between stages where they just show you like a still image, like you're looking through a crystal ball.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Things happening, and you see like Sorcerer Neff like doing these weird things that don't make sense. And then in one, like he's clutching a bird in his hand. And so once you beat Neff at the end, spoilers, if you don't want to know how the end of Altered Beast ends, just go ahead and skip ahead 3 minutes. You see the bird fly to you and then land, and it turns into the beautiful Athena.
Okay.
With Michelle Obama arms.
Yeah.
And, then there's a little cutscene.
Imagine a baby bird with Michelle with Obama arms.
It's majestic.
Isn't that a subreddit, birds with human arms?
I think it is. That'll be in the show notes. Then the credits roll, and in the credits, you can attack the names. They come down as big block letters.
I like it when they do shit like that.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. So here's the little bit of trivia I was holding on to. When you said that you're not sure that the game was intentionally supposed to be like schlocky, in the arcade version of Altered Beast, which we failed to mention, this is a port of the arcade game, and most people say it's the most faithful port of the arcade game, is the ending is every beast form in the game is shown as a man in a costume, and they're all drinking beer. You find out that this was a movie that they were shooting, and they're on break at the end of the game.
Okay, well, yeah, then... If that's the case, you were totally right. It wasn't meant to be like that.
I fucking love that. I fucking love that. And what I love the most is that that's not the ending in the Genesis. And so what that means is there's like a whole generation who like, what, if I had played this when I was a kid, like when this came out, I was 7 years old. If I would have played it then, I would have 100% taken it at face value and been like, oh my God, this is amazing. I cannot believe that all this crazy shit is happening. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is, as an adult with no nostalgia glasses, I can appreciate this game on a different level. And I think that's a strong suit of the game.
For being such an early game and digital trends kind of sticking to important games or games that made an impact, I'm surprised this isn't on it. Ranked low, but I'm surprised it's not on it.
Some people really don't like this game.
Okay.
And I also, I'll be honest with you, man, I'm kind of, after playing it, I think it belongs on the list. I think it'd be hard to not include it in, like, even if they'd done like a top 30, I think it would be criminal for it not to be included on that. But even in the top 25, I could see it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any achievements?
I have a couple achievements. Do you have achievements?
I've got one.
You want to do? Okay. Do yours first.
Okay. I've got Disaster in a Doublet.
Okay.
And that is where you beat a level without getting any power-ups.
Shit. That is.
Which basically has to be the first level.
It is possible, though.
Yeah.
It is fucking possible. God, I would not want to do it. I have four achievements.
Yeah, damn.
The first achievement is the power of Gallagher compels you. And in order to unlock the power of Gallagher compels you, you need to defeat the Audrey 2 watermelon clone.
Okay.
My second achievement, Tyler, is he'll kick you apart. In order to unlock he'll kick you apart, you have to complete an entire level only using the B button, which kicks.
Okay.
And that's very possible to
do. Yeah, absolutely.
My suggestion would be to do it on the swamp level. Swamps of Dagobah.
Yep.
You're going to be fine. Third achievement is called, this is, I thought the wolves were white, but I guess they were blue. So let me erase this word and replace it. My white whale is a blue wolf. And in order to unlock my white whale is a blue wolf, you have to you have to kill two of the wolves, gain the power-ups, only have one left, and not catch him, not kill him, because that is so fucking frustrating and happened to me so many times. I would get two of the orbs and then like the third one I just wouldn't be able to get to because this game is slow.
Yeah.
And I think it's like one of its major drawbacks for me is how slow it is.
Yeah.
You move slow, you feel kind of bulky. I get that. If that's what they were going for, if they wanted to make you feel like a big, bulky man who cannot move fast, mm-hmm. they did a great job. Because it is like, so many times I'd see something on the screen and be like, there is no way I'm going to get to that enemy before it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to fucking happen. And the wolves that you get the power-ups from are probably the fastest enemies in the game.
That's true. And they jump. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. And you have to memorize where they spawn and where you need to attack them in order to get the power up.
Yeah.
So that's a little annoying, but yeah, I'll overlook it. Fourth achievement I've got, Tyler, is called Of Wolf Fighting Fame. Nice. And in order to unlock Of Wolf Fighting Fame, you need to kill two wolves in the game. And this unlocks very early in the game. I got to give credit to our boy who sent us pillowcases to snuggle with tonight,
mm-hmm.
Jack of Ziggy Moons in Twitch chat, who came up with that one.
Nice.
So thank you for that. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Did you know, I got a little segment called Did You Know?
All right.
That you can press A and start to continue?
No.
That is how I got through it.
Damn.
Because, yes, when you die, if you hit A and start and then A and start again, you start back at the beginning of the stage you died on.
No idea. No clue that was the thing. Shit.
Second, did you know? First, I'll start with a question. Have you seen Wreck-It Ralph?
The movie Wreck-It Ralph.
Neff, the main villain of this game, is in the villains AA meeting at the beginning of the movie. He is the purple rhinoceros man.
Man, that is a weird fucking callback.
I know.
Damn.
It's very weird. And what makes me feel bad is I thought for sure, for some reason, I thought that was a Ghosts and Goblins boss. It's not.
I would have thought, man. Yeah, I remember like, what the fuck is that? Okay.
Yep. It's Neff, our good old buddy. Jerk it, Neff. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun talking. Yeah. I've had a lot of fun eating snacks, talking about pillowcases, saying hi to our new friends from Drew 2's show. Before we close things out, I have a couple questions I'd like to ask you, if you're okay with that.
Please, please.
You can consider it an exit interview of sorts.
All right. I'd be kicked off the show. Okay, it's cool.
No, actually, I'm leaving. It's just I want to give you the interview.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
I would have to give it the blue sort of mutton chops beard of one Hank McCoy.
Ooh, because he is beast.
He's the altered beast.
He is the altered beast. Nice. He is also the beast who alters. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I really enjoyed that beard.
Thank you.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of glasses would you give it?
Okay, there are some moments.
You know it's going to be good when you started with okay.
There are some moments whenever I think of where I'm trying to make an idea, and an idea will come to mind, and it's not necessarily a good one, but I cannot fucking get off it. So it's just like, I have to eventually be like, I guess it's the way it is. But I'm reminded of hearing, Jacob was telling me he read an interview with Stephen King, where King, his writing process is he feels like he's looking into another world.
Okay.
And he's writing about what he sees in the other world.
Okay.
He doesn't necessarily like what happens in the other world. He wishes it wasn't the way it was. He wishes he could change it, but that's just the way things happen in the other world, because there are some things in the Dark Tower series that he'll talk about, like, I didn't want to write that. I did not want that to happen, but that is what happened in that world, and I couldn't change it. So that's how I felt about this achievement, because it popped into my head, and no matter what, I couldn't do it. I couldn't change it. I was like, I guess this is what it is. And I do that in D&D. If I think of a name or a character concept, like, all right, that's just the way it is. I have to roll with it. So the glasses I give this.
Da-da-da, 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 that's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Sorry.
Damn. That alien from the very beginning of Men in Black, when Will Smith is chasing it down, and when he looks at you with human eyes, and then he blinks a little bit to show that he's an alien, right. His eyes.
Yeah. No. All right. That was a long lead into that, but I loved it. That's a memorable scene.
Yeah.
I like that. Did you know that he is also in the villains AA meeting at Wreck-It Ralph?
He was in the chair slightly off camera.
Yeah. Well, there's this whole deleted scene where Fix-It Felix murders that alien with the noisy cricket. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've got another question for you. Mm-hmm. One would say the last question. Are you saved?
Oh, that was good. Oh, man.
I would like to know how much this game is on Amazon.
But yes, Dave, twice. First time I didn't take, so
had to go back in the oven. If you were to buy this game used on Amazon, how much do you think you'd pay for it?
I think it's popular, it's iconic, it was a release title, $3.
Tyler, actual value of Altered Beast used for the Sega Genesis on Amazon at the time of this recording is $5.99. You are not far off.
Knew it had to be cheap.
It's a bargain game.
Yep.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, for $5.99. And you can probably get it cheaper on eBay.
Yeah,
or
I'm
other
sure
places,
you can find it cheaper somewhere else. Because Amazon is like usually one of the highest priced places to buy used video games. This for the original cart, $6. I would pay that.
Okay. Yeah.
Tyler, I had a whole quiz prepared, but we're running long.
We are running long.
So I'm going to save it maybe, although it might not make sense on a future episode.
That's fine.
When I tell you what the name...
Because we're known for our continuity.
Yeah, right? When I tell you the name of the quiz, you're going to regret that we didn't save time. Mm. Here's the name of the quiz. The 100% accurate What Is My Fursona Test.
Damn.
Because I felt like those would be our altered beasts.
I have no idea what my persona is.
Well,
so
now you'll never know.
Man.
I'm sorry.
Now we got to do it. We got to do it. Phantasy Star 2, there are animals in it. It's fine. Makes sense.
All right. Excellent. We got intros for next episode.
So we're running late. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Which, man, we are getting increasingly frustrated with SoundCloud.
Yeah, SoundCloud is getting worse and worse. They removed their API for Roll20. Mm-hmm. So we can't use SoundCloud and Roll20 anymore when we game, which has been a staple for me. Like, dude, I should show you my playlists that I had created from SoundCloud to play in-game. Mm-hmm. They're, and it's like all that time is just, whoop, gone. Just
SoundCloud, I mean, I anticipate they'll fold soon because they are just like... I feel like they're fucking shit up. Like
they are fucking
people are
shit
getting
up.
They're trying to make money and they're just ruining any goodwill that they've had. So
I agree. And you know what? I if they fold, it makes it a lot easier on me because it'll justify me not having to go, yeah, I'm not gonna pay you guys.
Yep.
So which kind of sucks because like I like having our stuff on SoundCloud, so because it makes us more accessible. But yeah. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge in December when we have to repay.
Yep. Sounds good. So let's see. If you like the show, if you want to help us out, there are various places you can leave us 5-star written reviews. On iTunes, still the biggest marketplace. Those are very helpful. On Amazon, you can go buy our shirt and give us a 5-star review about our shirt.
Mm-hmm. We need to read those.
We do.
They're good.
I think whenever we get to our...
Phantasy Star 2 episode.
Yep. Personas and Amazon reviews. Phantasy Star 2.
It sounds like Tyler and Dave didn't play much more Phantasy Star 2.
God, I want to. I want to so badly.
Yeah, I do
Man,
too.
Man, that game just takes fucking forever.
Yeah,
though.
It really does.
There's so much grinding.
Absolutely.
So, but we'll see how far we can get before Tuesday.
We'll see how this Wednesday's episode turns out.
Yep.
We'll just put it that way.
And let's see. We're on various social media. So Facebook, Twitter, get in touch with us. So if there's a game you want us to play, if you have a Patreon request, anything like that. Whatever you ask us to do, a game, whatever. We promise we'll get to that
eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are probably going to be talking about Phantasy Star 2 just a little bit. Just a little bit. In the meantime...
This was Frasier. We're doing a soup song on Phantasy 2.
In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Hey, do you want to see the trailer to Critters? Because I'll have that in the show notes. Would you also like to see all the fucking million things I mentioned that we've done on Twitch? That'll also be in the show notes. So please check it out. There'll be a link to the Catherine episode if you want to like piece together the history of Brainy Gatsby and Tyler. You can do that there. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. Everyone there is fucking amazing. Everybody in the Tadpog, everyone who likes the Tadpog Facebook page and comments, they're fucking amazing because there are conversations happening there.
Facebook's been booming too, so it's awesome.
It's been doing, yes, absolutely. I love the amount of activity that's been going on there. I love interacting with everybody who listens. That's very cool. One of the things that we like to do on this show is create an environment where everyone feels like they're our friends, essentially.
Yeah.
Because when you and I do this, we talk to each other like we pretend like we're friends for an hour and a half is what we do. We want to extend that, us pretending, we want to extend that to everybody.
Well, cold platitudes for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So like us on Facebook if you haven't yet. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. Mm-hmm. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you very much to everybody who's retweeting us. It really does help, and we very much appreciate it. We do have a Patreon. Did you enjoy this episode?
Mm-hmm.
If you did, we encourage you to go to patreon.com/tadpog and chip in whatever you can. If you chip in at least a dollar, if you donate at least a dollar, you'll get access to all of the bonus episodes that we have done and that we continue to do monthly. Which reminds me, we got one that we need to do for October soon. I had a suggestion. I don't know if you have anything in mind yet, but the suggestion was that we just talk about Nick Arcade. Do you think we could do a Patreon show on Nick Arcade? Or how about Nick game shows, just in general?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we could fill 6 hours talking about Nick Arcade show.
Oh, yeah.
Game shows, I mean.
No, yeah.
So there's a suggestion.
Yeah, okay. I'm down.
Okay, all right. We'll put it in the books. I would like to take a moment to thank a few people who have recently donated on Patreon. Joseph E. Willard III, who recently upped his pledge. I hope you enjoyed this Altered Beast episode that we did especially for you. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank Micah Perdue, a.k.a. Exalted Lord Micah Perdue, for upping his donation. I'd like to thank Sandwich Pope Phil Hawkins for upping his donation. I would like to thank Douglas from BetterMade for upping his donation. And I would like to thank Ryan Walters, Master of Coin, for upping his donation as well. We've had a lot of people up their donations. Thank you very much. I feel like it's worth noting that Joseph and Ryan, they upped it significantly. So that's nice. Thank you guys. We really appreciate it. And of course, that's not to say we don't appreciate those of you who are riding the Exalted Lord Micah Perdue Penny Train. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that too. If you'd like to mail us something, if you'd like to mail us hot sauce, mm-hmm. things to eat, things to snuggle with, mm-hmm. You can do so.
Games to give to other guest hosts.
Absolutely. You can do so at our P.O. box, which I do not have handy, but it's probably on that box that you're holding in your hand.
So that is Tadbug Studios, care of Nicole Nance, P.O. box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky, 42002.
Excellent.
We have an Instagram.
Yes.
I'm putting stuff up on there. A lot of good pictures of you holding Mexican toy candy.
Great.
People really like those.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I haven't even seen
probably
those.
Probably the most flurry of likes.
Really?
Or the you recording holding up Mexican toy candy.
Excellent.
So.
Well, if you could send me those.
Sure.
Actually, I don't want to see them. It's fine.
So if you want to see that, trying to get more and more active on it. So tadpog_podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
One of our theme song is Moves on Sigmar Drive with a bad track from the show notes at tadpog.com.
Nailed it.
How do you want to close this out, Dave?
Like we're transforming into animals against our will.
All right. Rape lycanthropy.
Yeah.
Rape lanthropy?
Like, well, I was thinking more like a
lycanthrape?
God. I was thinking more like five skinheads were kicking the animal into us. But
man. That's a good sex move. Urban Dictionary, please. Okay. So until next time. Tropical Capricorn! And now, a dramatic reading by Tyler Holland. Chickadee, China. The Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, we're dans les maison. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Mm-hmm. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films. But if I did, they would have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs. Gonna find the kind with tiny nubs. Just so my irons? Aren't always flying off the backstream. Gotta get in tune with Sailor Moon. Cause that cartoon has got the boom. Anime babes. They make me think the wrong thing.
I've shared with you that I've been to a Bare Naked Ladies concert.
No.
I absolutely have. Yep. My junior year of high school.
Man.
Yep.
They were something back in the day, I guess.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were a thing. Thank you. I like that. It was Shatner-esque.
Thank you.
I feel like just a light bit of music needs to be, like just a bed of music needs to go under that. Maybe Megalixir can help us out.
Oh, yeah. A Megalixir, like 8-bit Naked Ladies.